On August 29, 2005, Hurricane Katrina's monstrous winds and surging water overwhelmed the protective levees around low-lying New Orleans, Louisiana. 80% of the city flooded, in some places under 20 feet of water. Property damages across the Gulf Coast topped $100 billion. 1,833 people lost their lives. The riveting tale of this historic storm and the drowning of an American city is one of selflessness, heroism, and courage, and also of incompetence, racism, and criminality. Artist and author Don Brown tells the story in his new book, Drowned City, Hurricane Katrina and New Orleans, with kinetic art and as it happens narrative, which capture both the tragedy and triumph of one of the worst natural disasters in American history. Don Brown's previous graphic nonfiction story was The Great American Dust Bowl, and we welcome Don Brown to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. I appreciate you having me.
At what point did you know you wanted to work on this and tell this story in such a way?
For years, I've thought about it, but I don't think I really came to it as a project for a book until I had done the Dust Bowl book and doing that book and seeing how the advantages and the power of a graphic novel can be applied to a historical event like the Dust Bowl. And in this case, the Drowned City just appealed to me very much, so I just had to do it. And with the anniversary coming up, it seemed like a great time to do it.
When you put it in a graphic form, how do you lay it out as far as how you want to tell the story? Because obviously there's a timeline, but as I mentioned in the introduction, there's also so many layers. It's a very complex event.
you just hit on the problem of my work. How to distill a lot of information in a digestible manner for young people. And in this case, you have the multiple problem of how do you do it visually. Now, the story is chronological, so I can use that as the backbone of the story. And then I pick and choose elements that would appeal visually. And I'll let the art do the heavy lifting where, in another venue, the words would do the heavy lifting. For example, on one page, on one spread of the book, I show a couple who are trapped in an attic as the water's rising, and they desperately have to cut their way out of the roof and for safety. Now, if I was just writing that's a lot of words, and I have to write it in a manner that would capture the reader's attention. But in this case, I use the visual, I use the images to do that. And there's hardly any words on that spread, but that doesn't diminish the power of the moment or the incident. In that case, that reflects the great advantage of graphic novels. Something like comic book people, artists and writers have known for years. I'm just applying it in a historical, truthful manner.
There is a panel on page 63 of the book that has people who are in a shelter in the Superdome, and with one saying, "This is overwhelming, people are starving." And then you turn the page and you see an airplane flying, and there's a picture of the president looking out at the window with the words, "While heading back to the White House from a Texas vacation, President Bush flies low over New Orleans and the Gulf Coast to glimpse the havoc." Is it hard not to get political, even a little political?
Well, no. It's in this case, I think it's impossible to separate the politics from the event. But in that respect, I think I'm even-handed because
right.
In other areas, I talk about Mayor Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans at the time, and the governor of New Orleans at the time. So everybody gets their fair share of finger pointing, and believe me, there was a ton of it to go around. That, to me, is the crux of the story. The failure is the crux of the story, and I couldn't ignore it. I don't think any truthful account of the drowning of the city can ignore the complete collapse of government across all levels to deal with the disaster.
And what does 10 years buy you in the sense that we certainly know a lot more now than we know then, And in some ways, the story becomes even more horrific in hindsight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot more to come out even since I've done the book. You know, I'm sorry, I can't think of the title of the book, but what happened in, you know, one of the hospitals there. One of the doctors, I believe, wrote an account of the days spent in one of the hospitals. And it's a horrific tale. And as time goes by, more tales will come by. I mean, narrative history will just collect this stuff. So as time goes by, you'll just have more and more stories, personalized stories of what happened. Sorting it all out, you know that'll be somebody's PhD's dissertation, I'm sure. But for me, I'm just trying to get the basic story to a young reader who probably was not old enough to appreciate what happened at the time. My readers were probably 12, 13, 14. So you're talking about someone who was 3 or 4 at the time. They don't have a historical memory of this. And so I'm just trying to share that with them.
Why is it important, do you think, this may be somewhat obvious, but why do you think it's important for kids, especially of that age, to know of these events and know of this history, especially when they may hear the chatter of the anniversary and all that will come with that?
Well, I think all citizens and all people should, you know, appreciate the exercise of government and politics, and should demand the most out of their elected officials, for at least in a case of a disaster. You know, we always look back to try to make things better for the future. American history is more than just, you know, walking down the street and waving a flag. There were great, great, profoundly important elements of American history that we should all remember, good and bad. And this was happened to be one of the, well, you know, I was going to say one of the bad ones, but I'm not quite so sure, because it still had multiple incidents of charity and altruism and heroism that, you know, we shouldn't forget. We shouldn't just dwell on the particular failings of this politician or that.
You do end the book by saying that the city did not snap back to life, making the point that this is still going on, but it's taken a really, really, really long time.
Yes. I don't know if I'm not sure of the statistics, but I don't think they've recovered their population that they had prior. You know, people left and they did not come back. Although, anecdotally, I believe New Orleans is a pretty hot place, especially for the millennials who are flooding into cities all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think New Orleans has caught their attention too. So keep their fingers crossed. But some of the old-time residents, you know, the long-time residents of New Orleans left and they never came back. I can remember reading an article about one particular community where everything's overgrown. It's almost returned to, like, jungle because the people haven't come back and the weeds and the foliage have taken over. And that's kind of sad.
Your story primarily goes from August 29th to October 2nd. 2005. You wanted to end it at the point where the city becomes dry.
Yeah.
What was it about not wanting to tell what has happened in the past 9 years, 10 years, but to just look at that month and a half?
Well, I needed to constrain the story because I only have so many pages, and I think I only have so much of an attention span for my reader. There's certainly many other venues or many other books you can go to and to learn more about it. I wanted to pretty much just center the attention on the strike of the storm and its immediate aftermath. To me, that's the highest drama, and, you know, I was going for the highest drama. You know, you can certainly make an argument that you could pull it longer out or precede it or after, you know, an aftermath. But, you know, for me, I was looking for the brightest lights of a big story.
It's tough stuff. I mean, even for 12, 13, 14-year-olds, it's tough stuff. I mean, you show and you talk about swollen dead bodies lying in the streets and floating in the water. Is that tough as an artist and a storyteller to grapple with?
It's tough to grapple with. It's tough to make those kind of decisions, and they're made individually, story by story. And quite frankly, you know, I don't know if I get it right all the time, you know, and if someone would argue with me, I would listen to them. In the end, I'm just trying to do the best I can. Just as a tangential note, you know, I did a book about 9/11, and my editor and I had big discussions about whether I should visualize the jumpers from the building. Now, we had enormous arguments about this. In the end, we didn't show any jumpers. Because I thought that was too much. And in retrospect, I think we did the right thing by not showing that particular tragedy. But in this case, with the dead bodies, I think I hit it right. I think you have to make some kind of visual nod to the awful human cost of that disaster.
You talk about the human cost. One of the things that struck me about the book, and I think it was probably my second or third reading where it really hit me, about how much you incorporate animals into the story as well.
I don't know if that's just me. You know, to me, that's heartbreaking.
It is.
Those stories about it is like, you know, like at gunpoint, people were told to leave their animals behind. I think it touched a chord with everyone, including government, because I think FEMA, advisories now, is that to somehow let people take their pets, which, you know, as an animal lover, you know, I'm on board with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't know if you're aware of this going back to 9/11, but downtown Manhattan, people weren't allowed near the site.
Right.
And there were apartments there, and a lot of people had their, you know, cats and dogs there that weren't fed or watered for a very long time, and that was hard. And people would sneak back. They would, like, sneak past the police cordons to get to feed their cats and dogs. You know, it's a strong attachment of people to their animals, and, it's a good thing that FEMA now recognizes that.
The new book is Drowned City, Hurricane Katrina, and New Orleans. It is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Don Brown, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. I appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, and it was a lot of fun speaking with you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Drowned City, Hurricane Katrina, and New Orleans, written and illustrated by Don Brown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.